Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
We got so many good questions. I'm so excited.
I know. The questions are really good. They're really good.
I feel like we're not going to have time for all of them. And I agree. We should.
Yeah, we'll have to do like a part two.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
For sure. Yes. But there's some great questions.
Cool. Do you have one that you wanted to start with, or did you want to start with like saying hi, or what's the plan?
All right. So let's start with maybe one of the relationship questions or
Cool.
the fun one. How about the fun one? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, then I'll start and say, hey, everyone, welcome to our Les Hangout AMA on here on Wisdom. I am the West Coast host of Les Hangout. My name is Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I am Ellie Brigida, and we are here for our bonus AMA episode on the Wisdom app. Like Lee said before, we had some really great questions. The first question that I want to answer before we get into anything is, will this episode be recorded and put into a podcast episode? And if you're listening to it now, you know that it is.
We are recording. Don't worry. This will be preserved for posterity.
Yes. So if you're not here live, you can still listen. All right. So we're going to start with one of the questions that I've deemed a fun question. I put these all into different question categories. Here it is. In an alternate universe, you two are single. Fuck, marry, or politely decline, I don't like the berry part, Pink,
I like
Beyonce,
that.
Or Tatiana Maslany. Yeah, can we just talk about the fact that we're like, yeah, we're not killing any of these people. We're just going to say, no, thank you.
It changes the dynamic, I think, too, a little, right? Because I'm like, Barry's always the hardest one because you're like, who on here can the world do without? And the answer with these three is none of them. So I like that we get to just be like, I love you, but sorry, no. And that's good. Wait, Ellie, I lost you. Come back. Come back. You're muted. Okay, well, I'll wait for Ellie then, and I will try to give my answers to this, what I believe is an impossible question. So here's all I know. I think the right answer for me is you marry Tatiana Maslany. That's the first one I can come up with. Then I have this impossible decision between who do I politely decline between Pink and Beyonce, because there's no right answer here. And so I think the answer I'm going to have to go with to be realistic is I feel like Beyonce is like a little too intimidating for me. Like that's a lot. That's a little too much. So I feel like I'd have to politely decline Beyonce and, you know, get down with Pink. Why not? I'm dying to hear Ellie's answers, although I don't know what's happening with her audio right now. I'm back. Am I back?
Yes, I'm back too. I literally do not know what happened. I was literally talking to you that entire time and you just couldn't hear me. So not sure what happened, but...
But I want to hear your answer to this first question we're answering.
Okay, yes. So I can answer this question now. I did hear yours and I was trying to respond. And I couldn't, but I think I was going to say,
well,
like,
you
Beyonce's a whole lot of women for you, Foxy Cleopatra.
Is it bad to say I would be a little, that's like too much. I'm intimidated.
No, I understand, but I wouldn't be intimidated. So my choices.
You jerk. Come on.
I would fuck Beyonce, marry Tatiana Maslany.
That's the right answer.
And politely decline Pink.
I feel like the only right answer is you marry Tatiana Maslany, right? Like
that's really the only reasonable answer. I mean, to be fair, I would probably also marry Beyonce. That was tricky to go between the two of them. But I do feel like Tatiana might have like a little more time for you. Like if you're thinking about a real relationship, like I feel like you would always be like chasing after Beyonce. You'd be like, Beyonce, spend some time with me. And she's like, no, like I'm on tour. You know? Whereas I feel like yeah, Tatiana, you could like snuggle up and watch some TV, like when she's not doing a movie or something, you know? Like, I think she just might have a more flexible schedule for us.
That's true.
That's my thought. That's my thought. I'm needy. I need a little bit of attention, you know?
I have never noticed this.
No. Never.
No one would ever say such a thing.
No. All right. Well, I think we both have great answers either way. Let's go into some of the relationship questions because I love these like advice type questions. And so the first one is, any tips on how to keep up the passion in an LTR, which I'm guessing is long-term relationship, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Lee, do you want to start that one off since you've been in a longer relationship than me?
Oh, Lord. This is like such an involved question. When you sent the questions to me, because I only saw all of these like maybe 15 minutes ago, and this was the one where I was like, oh my God, we could do like a whole episode on just this, right? Like,
yep.
On just this.
Maybe we should.
Maybe we should, honestly. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess what I would say is, like, this depends so much on, like, the two of you, like, the two people in the relationship. Because, you know, I think the most important thing for, like, keeping that part of your relationship, like, healthy and alive is going to be a lot of, like, understanding each of your needs, desires. Like, I know what's the book? There's a book called I think it's called Come As You Are.
Mm-hmm.
That talks a lot about understanding like what are your like brakes and accelerators and like your style of like, you know, like attraction and desire and stuff like that. And so I think that like my advice would be like understand the two of you in terms of like what you want and like what works for both of you. And that I think will help because then you can kind of like work within those, like that context. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because it is, you're right. It's a very individualized question.
Yeah, it really is.
I do feel like though, this is like partially from experience, but partially because I really love this book called Mating in Captivity also, which is by Esther Perel. And Esther Perel does like a million TED Talks. And she basically like all she talks about is like desire and like intimacy. And one of the things that she says that I feel like is a struggle for queer women is that like one of the biggest things to like increase desire is individuality. So like I would say also like if you're like, okay, how do we keep up passion in a long-term relationship is also to like maintain your individual needs and wants. Like, because I think too, we get caught up in like, okay, I got to keep the passion alive. So let's like spend as much time together as we can. And let's like set aside a date night and blah, blah, blah. And like, yes, that's true. But like, I think also like individually, don't forget your own wants and needs. Mm. Because like that if you are like being almost like a little selfish is not the right word, but like think more about yourself.
Focused
and your
internally.
Partner.
Yeah.
You know, like rather than like, because I think it can get like overbearing if like that's like something that's really stressing you out. Because I can understand that like when I was in my previous really long-term relationship, it was stressful to me that like we were losing that passion. And I think I like clamped on too tight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than like letting go a bit. Like it seems counterintuitive, but like to just like let go a little bit and like do your own thing and like remind yourself of like, what did you love about your partner when like you first met them and they were single? Right? Yeah. Like I don't know, like it's exciting to see like I remember like when me and Jennifer started dating, like she was really into CrossFit and that's like, I know CrossFit lesbians and whatever, but it was exciting to see like somebody who was so like passionate about something and like loved loved like taking care of herself and working out and like had this thing that like she really liked to do without me.
Yeah.
You know, so like bringing those things, I think, back after a long time because you can get comfortable will help at least like ignite that minimal amount of spark that you need to then like get into like what you're saying. Actually, like if you're talking about like actually having sex, like when you're in that space, knowing what your partner wants and needs. But yeah. For that like initial just like, oh, I actually really want to start having sex right now because of these things. I think like focusing on what makes you exciting as individuals can like really jumpstart that.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing is like something that you just said too is like, you know, the difference between being like in that those early years of a relationship, you know. So mm-hmm. I think another thing is just like in a long-term relationship, any long-term relationship, like there's going to be a change between like the early days of your relationship and, you know, once you're like 5, 10, 15, 20 years in, like it's just different. And it's not like it's a steady like downward slope in terms of like how much sex you're going to have. But like it will change over time. Sometimes it will go up again. Sometimes it will go down again. Sometimes like, other, you know, life stuff happens like and you adapt and you adjust and you like make space for your relationship to change and grow and evolve over time. And I think that like all of that is really important in terms of like having the right expectations going in. Like if you expect that 10 years down the road, it's going to be the same as like the first year you were dating, like it probably won't be. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's like you won't be having as much sex for sure. Like it's not even that that's a guarantee, but it's just like it's different. It's different when like things are new and the person is new and you're both learning about each other versus when you're like, wow, we have been together for such a long time and know each other on like such a different level than you did back then. Like it's just things change, you know, and I think making space for that also helps. Helps to have, you know, have good, healthy, like a good, healthy sex life far down the road. So, but I do think that I think you're right, Ellie. I think that like, especially for queer women, there are things about like how our relationships tend to grow and progress that like make it, you know, make yeah. it a little more important to make sure that you like both stay your own person with exactly. your own interests over time.
Exactly. Just yeah, like,
you know what I mean. Try you to, know what I'm talking like, about here.
Yeah. Try to have your own things. Like it's yeah. okay to have some of your own things. And I think that also like absence makes the heart grow fonder. Like that, you know, like, but really like, and I know it's not that easy all the time, especially like I'm sure for you, Lee, like at this point, like you have kids, like you're gonna spend a lot of time yeah. together. You're taking care of your kids. You're like, especially with COVID, it's not that easy to really separate, but like trying to at least have like a tiny amount of that. I mean, like you still do have your own things.
Nothing better for your sex drive right? than kids. Let me tell you what. Nothing really gets you in the mood and like, you know, just having all sorts of energy by the end of the day than like two toddlers. But no, yeah, I mean, you have to find, you know, you have to find time, you have to find energy you know, I think understanding that it's like, hey, it does not mean bad things about our relationship if like we are a little less like super driven to have sex all the time now than we were our first year when we were dating, like over the summer in college, you know, where it's like, okay, exactly. different situations, things change, that's okay. But yeah, I mean, it just, you know, like it will climb, it will wane, it will go, and it will, you know, that's just how it's going to go. And it's fine.
I know,
and
we really,
it's healthy.
We really need to do an episode about this because we can't.
Yeah, you're like, you're
about
writing
it really,
down somewhere on our, on
yeah,
our topics
yeah, this
list,
is an episode.
Right? Like as we speak. Because
yes.
I know, I'm like, we could keep going forever, but we have other questions. And I also want to get to some of those, but great
yes.
question. We will try to talk about it more.
Yes. Also, I mean, just like piggybacking off of that, because we're sort of talking about both of our partners. Somebody asked how the two of us got to know our partners. So I don't know who wants to start. But
I'll start because I think, I mean, especially anyone who listens to the podcast, I think has probably heard some of each of our stories. So we can give like a quick overview here for anyone who's not familiar with our podcast. But my wife and I did meet in college. We met on a springboard diving team, which was interesting because neither of us are springboard divers. We both kind of like weirdly ended up on the team together. So we met there, and I was in another kind of long-term relationship from high school that was sort of like on a slow, just a slow decline and demise of that relationship. And that was when I met Kelsey. And so we started really getting close and like talking a lot because she was one of the few people that I knew who like wasn't also close friends with my girlfriend at the time, who had been dating for a long time. And, you know, so everyone that I was friends with like knew her and knew us as a couple really well. And that's how I met Kelsey. We kind of became, you know, like close by talking about like, hey, my relationship is like slowly dying. And I have lots of thoughts and feelings about it. And that's how we started, you know, talking a lot. So that's good.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
And here we are 15 years later. So hey.
Hey. If it works, it works.
It works, it works.
Nice. For me, I met Jana out at a bar. I was in the height of my, let's call it, hoe phase. And I, she was a friend of a friend, my friend Emily, who works with us for Let's Hang Out. She does a lot of our graphics. So she was a work friend of Emily's, and we went out for a like lesbian night, queer women's night in Boston. And Emily was like, oh, my friend Jana is coming. And, you know, I told her that I was going to help her find someone to make out with tonight. And so I was like, okay, show me a picture. And I saw a picture of her and I was like, I'll make out with her. And Emily was like, you're an asshole, Ellie. Don't mess with my friend. And then I messed with her friend.
Of course you did. And she's so your type too. Like, of course, you saw a picture and were like, yeah, I'll get on that.
I was like, she's so cute. But to be fair, like, it's like, yes, I saw the picture. And then I was like, you know, I was still keeping my options open at the night, whatever. But I did meet her and she had like this very, I don't know, I've always been very attracted to her. Like from the second we met, she had this like very confident energy around her. And I don't know, there was just something about her that like very much intrigued me. And like as I've been dating her for longer, I think it's
plus
really,
you ran your co-star and, you know, like,
yeah,
we compatible.
Did. Our co-star is very compatible. But like as we've been dating for longer, I think like the big thing is like we are very much opposites. And so it was that like opposites attract, where there are a lot of things about her that like are not, it's not similar to me. But like when I see them in someone else, I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. And like brings out, she's like much more assertive than me too, where like I have a hard time like asking for what I want, and I'm getting a lot better at that. But I think that I'm getting better at that because I'm with someone who's more like that. So like there's things that we, I think, pull out of each other. But yeah, but that first night was just like, to be fair, just like a drunken makeout night. And then we went on a date after that. And we went out to this like techno music concert on a Wednesday night in Boston. So that was like also such a random and interesting first date. Like, you know, it was very different than a lot of other first dates I've been on. And after that, we just like dated for a while, being like, we're talking all the time. And like, but I was in my whole phase. So I was trying to not date, but I got sucked in.
Jana just pulling you out of your hoe phase.
Yeah, I got sucked in. I mean, to be fair, she didn't.
Dragging you out.
She wasn't really in a hoe phase herself, but she was in a, like, I really like being single time. Yeah. But, you know, it's been, I don't know, 3 years later. So clearly we both didn't want to not date each other. So here we are.
I love that.
Oh, what a time. Yeah. And things have changed a lot since we first started dating because of like COVID and everything else, but there's still like that, just like I am still like intrigued by her, as I'm like, you're so different from me. So that's that. Yeah,
it works.
Let's see what else we got here. Let's do the other, there's one other relationship question that I wanted to get to that's probably going to be a lot, but maybe that's too many things. Let's do a podcast question.
Okay.
So this is like an easy one, just like a, which is how many hours does it take to produce one podcast episode, including preparation and audio post production? And so I did like, yeah, I'm like, I did like a rough sketch of it. I think it's like 10 hours ish. So if you think about that, that's like 10 hours per week because we release one episode a week.
Yeah.
And that includes like, especially for like Should Have Been Gays and Less Essentials. Like you also think about it, it's fun to watch something, but like you also do have to watch something. And like,
Uh-oh, we lost Ellie again.
Sorry.
Come back, Ellie.
Somebody called me. I'm like, this is just, we're having so many things. Like you still have to watch a 2-hour movie. Like that's that is 2 hours of time you have to set out aside to like make sure you watch something. And then, you know, writing the questions.
Which you know how good I am at doing that too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm constantly, because like, look, I'll be honest. Like my wife and I do not always have time to like sit down and watch a full movie in a night. So frequently like preparing for Should Have Been Gays, if it's a movie, I need like 2 nights guaranteed that I can like watch the whole movie. And I love to like on, you know, Tuesday night suddenly realize like, oh, shit, so I should have been gay tomorrow. I did not prepare and then try to squeeze in a movie or like skip through some of the parts. So yeah, I mean, it is still taking time because usually we do want to prepare and watch ahead and take some notes. And
yeah, agreed. I'm hearing music. Are you hearing music?
No.
I'm like, what is happening? Sorry, I'm hearing music like so loud.
Your phone is haunted today, I swear.
It's like seriously haunted.
Your phone is having a time of it.
Like, is my Spotify playing?
Is it good music? What's playing?
It's not a song that I even recognize, so I don't think it's on my phone.
Your phone's just picking now to be like, hey, check out this bop.
Yeah, I guess I'm just living like this. but yeah, I mean, it does take a good amount of time. And then editing and then also like graphics. I feel like there's also just like a lot of hours that are like unaccounted for. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of just like, you know, talking back and forth, figuring stuff out.
Booking guests, and, scheduling.
Yeah, like scheduling,
planning
back and forth.
Planning the calendar out. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time that goes into making podcasts, I guess, is the answer. And I would say if you listen to any podcasts and any podcast that has guests on it, there's just a lot more, yeah, like kind of lost time that goes into the mix of bringing people on, scheduling, you know, like finding times that work, getting them set up, especially when you're having guests who may or may not have any recording equipment of their own, who may or may not know anything about like being on a podcast, because we do everything. We always have done everything remotely since we're on opposite coasts. So there's, you know, there's a lot of time that goes into that as well, that, you know, versus when we do episodes that are just the two of us, there's a little bit less of that overhead that has to go into it. But yeah, there's a lot of time involved. And I think can I jump us over to the other question on here, Ellie? Because I do
yes.
think we can answer it.
Yes.
So this, I'm going to read it first because I think it's such an interesting question that someone sent in. So the question says, how do you keep running the podcast on this professional level while I'm not paid at all and Ellie not nearly enough? Do you sometimes feel mad at people consuming all this content without contributing a thing? In parentheses, because I do, the person who asked the question. And I think the reason that I want to answer this, first of all, for me at least, is like, no, we do not feel mad that people
yes.
are listening to our podcast. We are so happy that people are listening to the podcast. That's why we make the podcast. I think that's the first thing, at least, that I want to say. I don't know if you want to tag anything onto just that piece, Ellie, before we talk about some of the other parts of it.
Yeah, no, I do feel like that is a thing. Like, you can't. Like, the whole point of a podcast, like, it is free to consume. Like, if we didn't want it to be free to consume, then we would put it all behind a paywall, which, like,
yeah.
we're not. So, yeah, like, I think, like, everyone has their own financial situation. So, like, I'm never going to be, like, upset if someone doesn't contribute because you never know what people's financial situations are. But I think, like, to go to the how do you keep running the podcast on this professional level, I will be like,
we sink time and money into it.
Yeah, I mean, we put a lot of time into it, but I will also be like honest from my side, because also like I Lee does a lot as well, but like I do personally do a lot for the show. Like I'm doing a lot of the editing. And especially when the show started, like I thank God for Kristen, because when the show started, like we, Lee and I, were doing it all. And to be fair, like if you're not getting paid and you don't have a full-time job, it is, you're going to burn out. Like I personally burned out on a lot of the stuff that I was doing for the show, which was like all of the guest booking, all like posting on socials, like pushing, like especially because like at the beginning you're really trying to like get the word out, so like trying to figure out like how do we market this thing, like almost like doing two, just like pushing because you want people to listen to it. So I guess like from that, it's like we are grateful that people are listening to it because we did put so much work in at the beginning to like really get it out there. And like networking, I think, was like a big part of the beginning too. And now it's like a little bit easier because people do know who we are. So we don't have to be like hustling as hard to get people to pay attention. But it does burn you out if you do too much and are not getting compensated for it. Like that's just in life.
Yeah.
I have.
And I think, yeah. I mean, something that I feel like we try to be clear about, but I think it's good to cover as well, is like we don't pay me because I don't do a lot of the stuff that Ellie's doing for us. Like this is not just, you know, like we're only choosing to pay one of us for some reason. Like I have like a full time 9-to-5 job. I have less time to do some of the stuff that Ellie and now Kristen are doing in terms of like the social media stuff, like posting and uploading episodes. But also like Ellie does all of our editing. And I think when we first started realizing like, hey, we can, you know, when we first started getting any sponsorships, when we first started the Patreon and started like having any sort of money coming back from the podcast, that I think the first thing that was really important that we wanted to make sure is that we are paying, and every podcast should be hopefully paying their editor. Like you can't have a podcast without an editor, without someone who's doing your audio. So I think that's the main thing that like, you know, what we pay right now in terms of like how we pay out any of the money that we're making is like we're paying Ellie for the time she's spending editing and for the time she's spending you know, like doing all the other stuff to keep the podcast running. And now we're trying to pay Kristen as well for the work that she's doing in terms of like helping maintain socials, helping do outreach to guests, helping like get episodes up and posted and linked everywhere. So, you know, I think it worked out for us in terms of like the format that we have, the time that we each have in terms of like what we do, how we contribute. And that's reflected, I think, in how we, you know, pay out the income that we have. So, yeah, but no, I mean, we're certainly not upset at people listening to the podcast. Like the way we feel about it, I think, is we are super, super appreciative of people who enjoy the podcast and want to contribute, because that is actually like the main reason that we are able to keep doing it. But also like the more people who listen to it is still better. So please listen to it. Whether or not you can like throw a dollar at us, like just listen to the show. That still makes a huge difference. So
yes. And if you can contribute, it also does make a huge difference in like paying Kristen and myself. And like that's the thing. Like Lee doesn't do no work. Like Lee still is doing work that we're not paying her for. But like you said, like it's like we distribute it differently based on the tasks that we're doing.
Yeah, like, but it's work that I want to do because it's a thing I enjoy doing. Like, you know, ultimately, when we started the podcast, we didn't do it with like high hopes of making a ton of money off of it. We did it because we wanted to make a podcast and we enjoy making a podcast and we enjoy having people listen to it and enjoy it. And that is still true. So, you know, is it nice if you can, you know, still make some sort of money off of it and be able to at least afford to pay for like the time that we're spending on stuff? Yes. But that's, you know, in general, I mean, I would say anything that you are consuming that you're super enjoying on a regular basis and you are in any way able to contribute to keeping it alive, like I always think that's a great idea. especially small like indie podcasts that, you know, don't have like network backing, don't have, you know, like budgets that are just kind of covering a lot of that stuff for them. You know, it helps keep people rolling. So if you can, that's great. If you can't, you know, listening makes a huge difference. Most people are still trying to get like sponsorships that are based on listen and download numbers. So it's still making a difference ultimately.
Hello, my name is Alison Larkin, and I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of the Jane Austen podcast. This podcast brings Jane Austen's stories to the 21st century, along with commentary from me and conversations with fascinating people who all share a love of Jane Austen. And of course, we had to start with none other than Pride and Prejudice. So join me as we embark on a journey through some of the most wonderful stories I know. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, for sure. This also, like, we'll just super quickly answer this because this brings us to a musical question, which is, will there be a crowdfunding campaign for your next musical? And that is a yes, but we do not know. But we do not know when. So we will. You will be the first people to know. Don't worry. We are like in the back end figuring that stuff out. We're trying to find a crowdfunding campaign manager right now because, as we were saying, a lot of this stuff does burn us out, and so we're trying to like give it to some other people. But also, I think that could lead us to roadmap for our next musical project as well. If you want to talk a little bit about that, Lee.
Yeah, we're still kind of figuring some of that out. I mean, our roadmap is still, we are hoping to, we're writing it right now. Like a lot of it is written. Some of the, like most of the script is written. A lot of the songs are written. Ellie, you're working on, you know, getting some demos made on some of the songs right now. We're working on casting. And yeah, I think a lot of the open questions in terms of like the specifics are going to come down to honestly the crowdfunding campaign because, you know, I think anyone who followed our journey for The Flame, for the last musical podcast that we did, it was a very different experience, I think, for both you and I, Ellie, to go from doing like this small indie podcast that is just the two of us where, you know, we didn't have to get paid in the beginning and we were just kind of, you know, trucking through as best we could to doing a production where like we are hiring like SAG-AFTRA actors and like paying them and hiring musicians and paying them. And, you know, like just everyone who was involved with the project was being compensated. And when you're doing that, you have to have money to pay people.
Yep.
And so it's a very different experience for us to kind of go from like, let's start a podcast and maybe someday we'll get, you know, like some money out of it to like, hey, let's make a thing. And we have to be able to pay our actors and pay everyone who's doing all of this work with us and pay them on time. I mean, if you're doing a union project, like you have to pay them within a certain amount of time after they do their recording sessions and stuff like that. And so, yeah, you have to know ahead of time, like what your budget is, how much money do you have, what can you afford to pay people? And so I think, you know, we learned a lot about that. I think we were super happy and really, I mean, I was really proud of how The Flame turned out and how well we were able to like make our budget, like bring in that the amount of money that we needed to be able to pay everyone that was working with us. But we made that money and spent that money on that project. So yes, absolutely. We do not. We are not just sitting on a huge pile of cash to make the next one. And so we will be crowdfunding the next musical. And yeah, we're still working out the details in terms of when that's going to be. But we're super excited for the next project. I think, you know, people have heard some of the teasers about kind of what the musical is going to be. It is a very different, you know, very different universe setting, different characters than The Flame, different music genres and all of that. But we're super excited about it. And yeah, for anyone who hasn't heard any of the kind of teasers, it's going to be called Journey to the Heart. We're hoping still to release it this summer. And it's going to be a good time. It's, you know, it's a little more fantasy setting than The Flame, which was very like contemporary real setting. I'm excited. That's all. I don't know. I got on a tangent because I'm so excited.
No, it's okay. I'm excited too. And we are like we will be doing a pretty huge, like when we do the crowdfunding campaign, we will be sharing a lot more information about the musical yes. in conjunction with that. So we're just like holding on to those for now. But like when we start the crowdfunding campaign, which will be in the next few months, like at some point in the next few months, you'll hear like much more about the story, much more about the characters, probably hear some songs. So like you'll get some things. We're just like holding on to them for a little bit. I would love to get this to this relationship question because okay. I think they're the most interesting, and we can also, you know, add these to our
you just
to
mean
our
they're messy.
Episodes.
They're messier. Come on.
Yeah, well, they're more nuanced. So this question is, how do you ask your partner about opening up the relationship without hurting their feelings or making them feel less desired or loved? Whew. Which is a very tricky question. Maybe I'll start on this one.
Okay. Do it.
Number one, I feel like if you're gonna ask your partner to open things up, make sure you're already at a good place. I think like the biggest struggle you're gonna have, like without their feelings hurt or making them feel less desired or loved, right? If they already don't feel desired or loved, they're much more yeah. likely to take this conversation in a negative way, right? So I think like the big thing is like make sure you're in a really good place in your relationship. Like really take a look inside and be like, do I want to open up this relationship because I think that it's good for both of us and it's good for this relationship and it's something that like I think will enrich our relationship together? Or if you're looking at it like, I want to open this relationship because I'm not happy. And if you're coming at it from that angle, then like you're gonna already have like the hurt feelings and making them feel less desired or loved. So I would just say like focus on within your relationship in general, making sure that they feel that way so that when you do have that conversation, it doesn't feel, they're not gonna come to it from a very defensive place, hopefully, because you've already made them feel pretty secure in the relationship.
Yeah. And I think along with that, something else I would add is like, I don't think the first conversation you have should be opening up your relationship. I think the first conversation you should have is discussing polyamory and how you both feel about it and like what it brings up for both of you and working through like what does it even mean and stuff like that. Like the question doesn't say anything about whether there is like a baseline understanding or like has ever been any discussion about like being poly previously in the relationship. And so since it's not there, I think I want to highlight that like if you have entered into a monogamous relationship with somebody who thinks that like you both intend to be monogamous throughout the relationship, that probably the first place to start if you think that like you might be someone who is poly is to start with that discussion and like talk about what that means to each of you and how you each feel about like that topic in general first. I don't think you can just dive straight into like, we're dating and also I want to date other people. Like I don't see any way that that's going to go well. If you both like have, you know, discussed it in the past, then like, yes, I think you're absolutely right, Ellie, in terms of like, you know, making sure the relationship is in a good place and all of that first. But I think first you also have to have a discussion about like just polyamory in general, like read some books together, talk about, you know, like make sure that you both kind of understand and are talking about the same things. Because I think, you know, I mean, I feel like our generation understanding and kind of like the concept of polyamory in general, I think, is more commonly understood by most people, whether they're poly or not. But, you know, I still think it's good to kind of make sure that, like, you both have shared understanding, shared vocabulary, like, understand what you are talking about, and then, you know, can actually really have those conversations in, like, a healthy, productive way instead of just, like, having miscommunication and having resentment and, like, having, you know, just confusion and a lot of that coming up.
Yeah, I like that too, because like I said, like you really want it to feel like it's not like one-sided. Because I feel like if it's one-sided, then like you're not actually in the open relationship that like you would want to be in.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I do think like when you're talking about it, like I agree, like if you both like can read the books and like be having those conversations, like you both can figure out, This, I mean, it's similar to what I said before, like opening up the relationship is also like a big, I think, part of it is about individuality, right? So you want like your partner to also like individually be like exploring that for themselves to see like, is that something that they actually want as well? Mm-hmm. Without having it feel like it's like, oh, well, I guess I want this because my partner wants it and like I'm going to try to go for it. Like that's not going to be the best footing to start out on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think something else, because this is, listen, anyone who knows you and me, Ellie, you know we love TikTok. Yes. I need to bring TikTok in here for a second in the stupidest way. But honestly, I think because so much of like I, as someone who has young children right now, like I spend a lot of time on like parenting TikTok. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, hey, you know, what my best parenting tool is freaking TikTok. TikTok is great because toddlers are a nightmare. They are so tiring and exhausting and emotionally demanding in ways that like you've never learned, you know, like nothing ever teaches you how to have a toddler. And so sometimes TikTok is a great example of like, oh, I can go and see a 60-second thing of somebody modeling what this can look like, what things can look like, what can I say in these situations, how can I parent my children in healthy ways. Sometimes seeing it and having examples, I think, is really, really important. And polyamory is something that we do not see. There are not a lot of good, healthy representations of like poly relationships out in the world, out in media. It's, you know, like you're not going to find a lot of them. There's a ton of them on TikTok. Like I've seen so many things with like people who are like, oh, how I greet my partner after they come home from their date, or like, you know, oh, someone like left a note telling me my girlfriend was like out with another man. And like, here's my response to like, yeah, she was. And that's cool. I hope like, she had a good time. It. Did she bring me back yeah. leftovers? Like, I just think there is something so important about kind of seeing something modeled and seeing examples of it in like in real life situations and seeing people in those situations that I don't think we have a lot with polyamory. So like, look, I'm not saying TikTok is the only place you can find that. I'm just saying I know it's there. And I think that something else I would say is like, if that's something you're considering, and it is so easy and so innate for us to kind of fall back on like these built-in things of what we have seen modeled, which is jealousy, which is resentment. Like, I just think find better models, find better like role models that you can look to and see examples of like, oh, here's another way to act in this situation. Here's another thing to say. Here's another way that my brain can approach this and like see an outcome for this. You know, like I think that makes a huge difference for any situation, parenting, polyamory, whatever, like just whatever it is. I think just having good role models is really important.
Agreed. And I think that
anyways, that's really my TikTok rant for the day.
No, that was good. But I think that like really helps to change like your own perception, but hope, but like it seems like in this question, it's like their partner is not really like, it seems like they're not really interested in opening the relationship, right?
Yes.
But like, I feel like there are like a lot of anxieties from the perception of polyamory, as you're saying, the jealousy and like, oh, it would never work, right? Right. And it's like, if you can show them, oh, here are ways that it might work.
Here are people making it work.
Then it can be a little bit of an easier conversation. But yeah, I think it's like just starting there and not starting from, hey, I want to open the relationship, will give you like a much easier conversation. Even if the end result is still that your partner wants to be monogamous. And like you also, I think, do have to be prepared for that as well.
Yep.
Like that, yeah, if that is the case, then like you also, then you're going to have to reevaluate, like, are you also okay with never opening up your relationship because your partner didn't sign up for that and doesn't want it? So there's like many ways that conversation can go. But I think like just having a baseline can make it an easier conversation to have, where like it's not going to be a horrible conversation. It just might not have the result that you wanted.
Yep.
Either way. Yeah. Okay, let's see what else we got here. We have a few personal questions. I feel like there's a question about Bitcoin here, Lee. I feel like you have to answer that at another time because it's very nuanced.
It's not nuanced. The answer is Bitcoin's bad. It's fine. It's fine. I'm not, I don't begrudge anyone. It's not going to change my mind. It shouldn't exist. It's a made up. It's fine. It's fine. We can, we'll talk about it later. The answer is my views are not changing.
Okay. All right. That's why I'm like, all right, well, that we'll come back to
Do you want me to go on a whole rant? I can go
No. But I do feel like we should answer that at a later time, but not in this episode. But I just want whoever wrote that question to know that Lee will answer it at a later time, just not right now.
I will answer it at a later time. You're not going to like my answer anymore than you like apparently whatever tweet I retweeted. Sorry.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So let's go to some other ones, which is, this is an easier one. Lee, how come you speak French? What's your connection to France?
My connection to France is, so when I was 3 years old, we moved, my family, like my parents and my brother and I moved to France because my dad was doing a master's at a university in France. So we all got up, moved to France. We lived in France for 6 years, so from when I was 3 to when I was 9. So I started like preschool through fourth grade in France, and then we moved back to the US when I was 9, and I have lived here ever since. But we moved there obviously because my dad is a French teacher. My brother is also now a French teacher, and so the four of us, like my immediate family, all speak French. And now my kids speak French and they're super cute and it kills me, every day. And, that's it. That's my connection to France is just, I happened to live there for a handful of years when I was a kid.
Beautiful.
nice and easy.
easy question. Here's another one. This is for me. Boston is so freaking expensive. Can you live from performing? Great question. So yes. And to be honest, no. I am making more money performing right now, which is really exciting because I, in the past year, joined a wedding band, which is actually paying me like a normal amount.
Wait, what was it? It was like the month before the pandemic, right?
Yeah. I joined the wedding band the month before the pandemic.
Yeah, it was great. Good timing. Yeah, a lot of weddings.
great timing.
A lot of weddings in summer 2020.
Yep. So I was living on unemployment for quite a bit during the pandemic. So no. And I will also say that I do live at home rent free. So I am very lucky to be able to live with my mother.
That's the no part of the...
Yeah.
Can so, you live off of performing in Boston?
So
yes.
Yes. But
if
no.
your family happens to live there and has a room for you.
Exactly. But like I do a lot of other things besides that, too. And I am working like this year in particular to be better about setting my financial boundaries and like saying no to things that are not paying me so that I have more time to hopefully like make a decent amount of money. I don't think like I'm never going to be very, very rich from performing.
Hey, you just wait till we get you on Broadway, Ellie. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. I shouldn't say never. I could be very rich once the flame goes to Broadway. but for now, with what I'm doing with the wedding band, I'm like probably if I want to give like a number, I can probably make like $30,000 a year performing, which is not bad for performing. But it's also
why we're trying to hopefully be able to pay you a little more from the podcast because you do spend a lot of time doing this.
Exactly.
That means you can't be doing other stuff that could pay you more. So, you know.
Exactly. So, there's a balance, but I still love performing and I'm very, very happy to be in the wedding band that I'm in because I can gig most weekends and still like feel like I'm like, you know, I perform for like 4 hours and I make good money during that time and I love doing it. So if I could be rich from performing, I'd be very happy. But
yeah,
yes, that is my short answer. Not only performing. And I do like a lot of podcast editing and music production and all kinds of other stuff. So I'm supplementing my income from performing through that stuff as well.
The freelance life.
And yeah, rent-free is very amazing. I love it. Love my family. At a certain point, it's like, in this economy, I'm not embarrassed to live with my mom.
Yeah. nor should you be. Listen. Especially and I love in Boston.
Her. And I love her.
I mean, she's great.
She's the best. She's the best. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have? We maybe have time for one more question, which is, let's just do the less essentials one, maybe.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. So here's our last question. On the topic of less essentials, with the shift over time from queer-coded Fried Green Tomatoes Xena favorites to openly queer shows and movies, what sort of older films are still making the cut for less essentials that haven't been covered yet? I think this is like an interesting question because we have been doing a lot more new less essentials.
Yeah.
Because we have been having much more openly queer stuff. But we do have some on the list that I think are still worth talking about for like a less essentials.
Yeah.
And like the criteria for those, I think, is that like they're more openly gay and they're not super, super depressing.
Yeah.
And that's like a tricky thing to find.
Listen, here's the thing. We have a whole list. We have a whole list of like possible essentials topics. And we do try to include, we don't do like a ton of less essentials every season, right? Because we have to do like, it's so much more work for them and it's writing the song and producing the song and everything. So like we spread them out and we do fewer of them in a season. And we do try every season to make sure that we have some sort of mix. But I mean, I think the other thing is like, just to say it, like it is a podcast and we do want people to listen, and you're trying to, every time you make a podcast and release an episode, like you're hoping to keep your numbers up. And it's so hard sometimes because like there is so much new queer media and it's all so good. And it's not like there are not good older queer shows and movies. There are. But also a lot of them aren't the same today as they were when they came out, you know?
Yep.
And so there's a balance. There's a balance between like wanting to cover and talk about some of these older movies and also wanting to cover the new stuff that like everyone is excited about right now. That has to factor in. And so we do try to do a mix, but it's, you know, like it's hard. It's the less essentials take, you know, when Ellie said, I think one of the earlier questions that like every episode takes about 10 hours of work, like less essentials, I would say,
oh my God, at
triple
least.
That.
Yeah, I mean, at least.
What do we think? Like they take a lot more time.
Well, especially because we spend like 2 hours talking about the movie. Like we usually, yes, those episodes are 2 hours long, which means like editing time is at least double. And then also Lee's writing a song. And then we're also
producing
the song and singing the song. A song itself is like 15 hours. So
there's a lot that goes into that. So I would say like, go jump from 10 hours to like 30 hours for the essentials. It's why we don't do as many of them every season. But it is, you know, it's also hard, like some of these movies, and it's not just the older ones, even some of the newer movies, like there is a reason that we don't always want to do them, because there's some of them, you know, like so much queer media is still like depressing barrier gaze nonsense. And we're just like, I don't want to talk for 2 hours about it and then write a song about it. Like, I want to focus on happy stuff. I want a happy movie
dead.
With a happy ending.
My husband killed me.
God, listen. It's just, I'm like, no one wants like 18 less essential songs that are all just like eyes meeting across a room, our fingers touched briefly, and then you died.
No one wants that.
And I don't want to have to write them. So, I mean, we are trying to do them. And we also are trying to find other ways that we can talk about the movies that won't require so much time. Do you want to talk about our Patreon?
Yes.
Our Patreon briefly, Ellie.
Yes. So we still haven't hit 150 patrons, but when we do hit 150 patrons, we do want to talk about these older films because like they were iconic. They still are iconic. Yeah. They still are important.
We have lots of thoughts and feelings about them.
We do have lots of feelings about them. And like some of them I think are also actually good. And then other ones are like, okay.
They came out and they existed at the time.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I still want to talk about Bound. Like I love that movie. Like Girl Trash, the musical I want to talk about. The Incredibly True Adventures of Two Girls in Love. Like there's like some really like classic older films that we do want to talk about, and we might be able to squeeze into a Les Essentials, but then we don't know because we have all these new stuff, this new stuff come out. But we want to do like basically more of an analysis. So like a historical analysis of these films. So like starting basically from like, what's the first lesbian film we ever got, if we can even find it, right?
And sort I like of how like, you're like a historical analysis, and I'm like, I just want to spew my feelings on all of these at people.
I mean, yes.
in bonus episodes, basically.
Yes, and so these will be Patreon bonus episodes where we talk about these movies and what they meant in context, right? Yeah. And then like what are obviously looking at it from a lens of now, how we feel about it, but like still talking about them because they are important, but we just can't really fit them on our actual feed. So we're hoping that those could be like a monthly bonus episode if we can get to enough patrons that we can afford the editing and like afford the time to do some bonus episodes. So that's the idea.
We do want to talk about them. We know they're there. It's not that, and we have covered a lot of them. I mean, we have done some older things on Les Essentials, and we want to find a way to talk about some of these movies that maybe don't fit like into a full essentials, or maybe we don't have the time to do that many essentials in a season, but we're trying to find ways that we can like throw all of our thoughts onto all of you.
Yes, and they will most definitely not have a song because we don't have time for the songs, but we want to talk about them.
Yeah.
But that's it, I think. Thank you to everyone who gave us all these amazing questions. We do have some questions left. Also, we're going to try to do a part two, so like a Patreon bonus episode where we talk about some questions. So if you want to join our Patreon, we've mentioned it many times, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon and join at any level, and you can get part two of our Ask Me Anything. So it'll be a Patreon-only Q&A. But thank you so much for joining us here.
Yeah, and if you haven't listened to our podcast, we are a podcast. It's called Les Hangout. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever, that you should check us out, because this is kind of what our podcast is. It's just us, talking about stuff.
Talking about guests, gay stuff.
Talking about gay stuff with each other and with guests, and it's a good time. And also, we've mentioned The Flame a lot. If you haven't listened to The Flame, it is a original musical podcast that we wrote and produced last year that came out over the summer. And it is also available everywhere you listen to podcasts. It's 8 episodes. They're all up. You can listen to the whole show. We're super proud of it. It has, you know, like some Broadway royalty in there, starring one Ellie Brigida you may have heard of.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her. She's pretty okay. I think she's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's us. That's what we do. That's who we are. And, you know, we hope everyone enjoyed this. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Yes, thank you. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon. Bye, everyone.
Let's hang out.